Begin the current daf, Masech Devadizar, daf Lamed Hey. Begin 10 lines down by the top of the Amud, where the Gemara continues the discussion from the previous daf, quoting from our Mishnah, where there was a discussion between Rabbi Shua and Rabbi Shmuel regarding the opinion of the Chachamim in our Mishnah, not like Remeir, regarding the cheese of the idol worshippers. Remeir held that it was forbidden to even have benefit from it, as the Gemara explained in the previous daf, regarding a concern that it's related to Avodizar, whereas the Chacham said it's permitted to have benefit from it, just it's Asr Bachila. What's the reason? So on that, the Mishnah discussed a few different options, where ultimately they were all rejected, where it can't be because of those reasons, because then either it should be even forbidden to have benefit, as we mentioned on top of this Amud, if it's going to be Avodah Zarah, and if it's regarding something else of the Keva of an Avela, then there should be forbidden to even have benefit from it. So ultimately, the Mishnah tells us that he sealed davar achar b'chulu. So he distracted him to a different topic. He didn't end up answering him the question, why is it according to the Chacham that the cheese of the idol worshippers are forbidden to eat, but permitted to have benefit from it? Now, the Gemara explains that pasuk that he distracted him to, where he had asked him, is it doidecho or doidayich, where it's, the Jewish people are speaking to Hashem in the pasuk in Shir Hashirim, is it talking about what Hashem likes about us or about what we like about Hashem? So on that, he ultimately told him, no, it's not doidayich, it's not what Hashem likes about us, but it's what we like about Hashem. So that explains the Gemara, Maiki Toivim the Dechmiya. What does the pasuk mean when it says that the Jewish people say to Hashem, because your beloved is better than wine? So Kiyas Rabdimi Amur, when Rabdimi came, he said that Amr Knesset Sesulah from the HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is because the assembly of the Jewish people say in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Rebbein Shalom, Master of the World, Arev Malai Divri Deidecha, it's more sweet and precious to me the words of your beloved, meaning the words of the sages. Yesu Meyein Nishal Torah, more than the wine of Torah, meaning more than the proper Torah Shebiksav. So although the written law was given by Hashem, the dominion of Torah, which was given to the sages, is more precious to us than the Torah itself. So the Gemara asks, Maishnahai cried Deshaili, why is it when he was distracting him, did he specifically ask him this pasuk? Well, he didn't answer him the question ultimately. He gave him a few options and ultimately they were all rejected. Why did he distract him to this pasuk? So remember, Shem ben Pazdi beat him, and some say Shem bar Ami is because Meresh the crow Kamala. He was alluding to him from the beginning of that pasuk, where it says, Yishikeni min hashikis piyum. He should kiss me, meaning Hashem, from the kisses of his mouth. Which Amalei, Rabbi Shua is telling Rabbi Shmuel, Yishmol achi, my brother Yishmol, chashayk sifseisecha zu bezu. The word chashayk is translated as kibushayn, which is, when it says ornaments, it's kibushayn, which means to say to stick together. Close your lips one to the other, which is what a kiss is, and that's why we're alluding to that part of the pasuk. Close your lips, val tavah lahashava, do not be quick to respond, meaning to be analytical over here and start asking why is it that the Chachamim made the cheese of the idol worship is forbidden. So says the Gemara, my time, what's the reason? Why can't he ask? We always ask regarding the etiology of law. Ama'ula, b'item simsi Rav Shmuel bar Abba, it's because Gezerah Chadashi. At that point in time, the cheese of the idol worshippers that was forbidden was a new decree. They had just decreed recently that their cheese should be forbidden. And we don't go ahead and analyze and ask and peck away questions to ask to explain it as the Gemara is going to explain. Now, my Gezerah, so what was the decree? Why was it? He didn't end up answering it, but the Gemara is asking what was the reason for the prohibition of the idol worshippers' cheese? Mishum ben Pazi, Mishum ben Levi, Mishum Nikr, because of the pecking away of snakes of the cheese, which is a problem for all things that are left uncovered, because the snake might eat from it and put in its poison, and because of the danger to life, that's why the cheese of the idol worshippers are forbidden. So the Gemara asks, "Valemali Mishum Nikr." Then why didn't he just tell him that it's forbidden? Because then why did he have to go ahead and distract him and not give him the real answer because of the snake pecks away at it? Says the Gemara, "Kadula like Ula," because the Amar Ula Ula said, "Ki gazu gezeirasa b'marava." When they make a decree in the West, in Eretz Yisrael, lemegalu taima, they do not reveal the real reason why they made it forbidden. Ah, treisa yachir shati, until 12 months have already passed. Why? For the following logic: Dilma ikke inish talei svirle. There might be someone who does not hold of that reasoning, and therefore won't stop doing that thing. That's the reason. I'm not concerned about that. V'asid lezulzulaban, they come to be disgraceful of the rabbinic decree, of that ordinance. But now that they don't say the reason why, so everyone will stop. Because they're going to think, oh, for sure the rabbis have a real reason why there is going to be real negative consequences over here. We just don't know the reason. But if we tell them the reason, and then they might not like it, and then they might not keep to it. So that's why he said, look, I'm not telling you the reason. He distracted him to something else. And the reason why he didn't want to tell him, although he knew the reason, like we said, because the snakes eat away at the cheese, and by the non-Jews they're not careful with that, is because he might not think of that as a valid reason, and 12 months have not yet passed, and therefore it might not allow the chacham, their gzeira, the ordinance, to take effect, and therefore we don't say the real reason. Now, however, the Gemara tells him, Agadav bar Reb Yirmiyah. Reb Yirmiyah discorned the interpretation of what the Gemara just said, that the reason is because of Nikar. Because Elamiat, if that's the case why the non-Jewish cheeses are forbidden, is because maybe a snake ate from it, then Yevesha Tishteri, the dried cheese should be permitted, and Yashin Tishteri, an old-aged non-Jewish cheese should be permitted. Because Amar B'chanin, he said, anything which was left uncovered, which generally a concern because we say that maybe the snake partook of it and there's poison inside of it, but Reb Chanin says that if it's Yavish, if it's dried, then it's mutter, it's permitted. Because the poison of the snake, had it been there, ain manicha liyavish. The snake's poison does not allow something to dry up. And therefore, if it's dry, obviously there's no snake poison inside. So too, wine and beer that were left uncovered when they're new, if you wait until it gets yashin or gets old, mutter, it's going to be permitted. Because if the snake poison was inside of it, ain manicha liyashin doesn't allow it to get old. So if you're saying the reason for their cheeses being prohibited is because maybe the snake partook of it, then however, if they're aged or if they're dry, should be permitted. And yet we know older cheeses are forbidden. Rather, Amar Reb Chanina, he gives a different interpretation for this prohibition. Because it's not possible that there's not going to be between the holes of cheese, cheese has holes in it, that there shouldn't be some of the milk that's left inside of it. Now, the milk that a non-Jew milk and a non-Jew does not see, as the Mishnah is going to tell us later on, is prohibited. Because maybe he mixed into that milk non-kosher milk. Now, although the halacha is that non-kosher milk from a non-kosher animal cannot be curdled into cheese, and that's why normally we would assume that the cheese should be kosher, however, if he does mix some non-kosher milk into the kosher milk made from a cow, then the non-kosher milk will get mixed into the milk whey, whey, W-H-E-Y, which the whey of the milk of kosher of a cow is kosher. Problem is, the whey doesn't curdle into cheese. Now, the non-kosher milk will also maintain the liquid. Now, milk from a non-kosher animal is biblically prohibited, as the Gemara B'chayrus, Vav Mabez, teaches. So we have to be concerned that although there's cheese, and yeah, cheese cannot come from a non-kosher milk and cannot be curdled, but there's some liquid, even from kosher animal's milk, that maintains a liquid, which is the whey, which does not turn into the solids. And in those holes, there might be some of that non-kosher milk, which was mixed in, and that's why their cheeses are prohibited. With Shmuel, he gives a different reason. Although in the Mishnah we rejected the interpretation of why it'd be prohibited is because that they curdled it with the rennet of the maw of a non-kosher animal, meaning of an animal that was not properly slaughtered. But here, says Shmuel, the reason actually is because they used the actual hide, meaning the actual maw, the stomach itself of the non-kosher animal. Now, that hide is not pure Shebi Alma. As we explained in the Tabitha's Alma from the previous staff, that the rennet itself is not considered part of the nevela, and that's permitted. Here, Shmuel says they use the actual maw, the actual stomach itself, to curdle the cheese, and that is prohibited as nevela, part of the animal itself, and that's why that's awesome. Now, however, on this interpretation of Shmuel, the Gemara asks, Hakeva Gufa Sharia, that infers that, but the rennet itself is permitted. That would not be considered part of the nevela, and hence if you curdle kosher milk with it, it would be kosher. On that is the Gemara, Mi Omer Shmuel Hachi, does Shmuel really say this, that it's only prohibited because they use the actual skin of the keva, of the stomach itself, of a nevela, that's why it's prohibited, but the keva itself, what we call the rennet, which comes from the stomach of nevela, which is this, that it's the milk that's used to, it's inside the lining of the stomach of the animal that's permitted to be used, which has a lot of bacteria which is the rennet, to make curdling other milk in it as cheese, that would be permitted. Obviously, because Shmuel holds that's pir shebi alma, that's just waste matter, it's not considered part of the animal. On that, as the Gemara v'tanam, we learn the Mishnah Masechta Skulin, and it says, keva so'evit kechavim v'shel nevela, the rennet of Avodah Zarah, and meaning of an animal that's avodah zarah, and of a nevela, an animal which was not properly slaughtered, harizu asura. That rendered is prohibited. Now, Vavinaba, we had asked on that Mishnah, Atu da'ivik acham lam nevelahi. What does that mean? Why is he saying two different cases? Isn't automatically the cow of avodah zarah obviously was not slaughtered properly, and it's nevela? So why have to say both cases? And Amar Shmuel, he had explained that Mishnah, you're right, Chad Ketani. The Mishnah was teaching one case. Kevas, Shchitas, Oyvik, Chavim, Nevela, Asura. The rennet of an animal that was slaughtered for Avodah Zarah is anyways Nevela, and that's going to be prohibited. So one thing you see from the way Shmuel explained that Mishnah is that the rennet itself of a Nevela is Asur. But from our halacha, it sounded like Shmuel was saying that only the hide, the skin itself, the stomach itself, that's used to curdle, that's prohibited because that's part of Nevela. But it sounds like, but the rennet that's inside is not prohibited. But that contradicts how Shmuel explained the Mishnah Masechta Schulin. So it's more like, it's not a difficulty as we continue them at base. Khan, over here in that Mishnah Masechta Schulin, where it was saying that the rennet of Avodah Zarah, which Shmuel explained, that's just because it's Nevela, is Asur, that was taught Kaidim Chazara, before Rabbi Shua retracted his opinion in our Mishnah that Rabbi Shmuel ended up rejecting his interpretation, where he was saying the reason was because it's curdled in the rennet of a nevela, where he held that that's not pirsha, it's actually considered part of the nevela itself. That's what Rabbi Shua was explaining in that Mishnah Masechta Schulin. That's what Shmuel was explaining. Yeah, because Shmuel, because Rabbi Shua held that that's considered part of the nevela. So just like a nevela is also to eat, so to its rennet is prohibited to eat. In contrast, Khan will be here where Shmuel will explain the halacha of our Mishnah, that the reason why it's prohibited is because they curdle it in the ur, but the rennet itself is going to be permitted. That was la'acha chazar. That was after, as we taught in our Mishnah, where Rabbi Shua ultimately retracted, because Rabbi Shmuel refuted and rejected the interpretation of the pirsha itself, of the rennet itself, because he considered it like pirsha, just waste matter, and it's a proof from the carbon oila that the rennet is permitted to eat for sure, that of a nevela. However, Umishna, the Mishnah Masechta Schulin, which was before the retraction of Rabbi Shua, Leizazim Kaima was not moved from its place. I mean, they didn't totally uproot that Mishnah, because once it was taught, it's taught. But Allah is not like the Mishnah Masechta Schulin, because ultimately, as we learned in our Mishnah, Rabbi Shua retracted. Shmuel was just explaining that Mishnah, but ultimately, the rennet itself is Pir Shva'am, was not considered part of the veil. It would not be usher if one used the curdle kosher milk. And rather, like Shmuel explained, ultimately, the real reason was because they used the ur of the kebab, the stomach itself, in that lining, that is considered part of the nevela, and therefore the milk which is curdled from that is considered part of a non-kosher animal because it was used to make it, and therefore it's forbidden to eat. Another interpretation, why is the cheese of the idol worship is forbidden to eat according to the Chachamim? Rav Malki Mishmeder Avad Barava Amar, he says, because they coat the surface of their cheese with the lard of a swine, and because of that, that's non-kosher from non-fat of a pig, and therefore that's going to be forbidden. Rav Chisda, he says, because actually they curdle it with vinegar, which is from wine, which the vinegar curdles milk, and because of that, so that's yainesach, so that's why it's forbidden to consume that their cheeses. Which later on the Gemara is going to ask, if that's the case, then according to the Chachamim, shouldn't be also only ba'achila, it should be also ba'ana, because their yain, nesach, is forbidden ba'ana. Nachman Yitzchak gives another interpretation, says, because they actually curdle their milk into cheese with the sap of a tree of arla, which is forbidden, the fruits of the tree the first 3 years, and since they use it to curdle the cheese, that's where the tree is forbidden. Now the Gemara asks, come on, who's this last interpretation like? Must be kahitan, like the Tana we learned, which is actually Mishnah Masechta Arla. Belazar, he says, Hamaymid Bisrafa Arla Asav. Someone curdles something or creates something with the sap of an Arla tree in its first 3 years, it's forbidden. And they should pay me because the sap is considered produce. The tree itself is not forbidden, it's the fruit of the tree. And Rabbi Elazar holds that the sap is considered the fruit, which is forbidden in the first 3 years. So must be this interpretation of Rabbi Nachman Yitzchak was going like Rabbi Elazar. So it's like, no, I feel Rabbi Shua. You can even say it's like Rabbi Shua who is the disputant of Rabbi Elazar in that Mishnah. Because Adkan, like Paul Rabbi Shua, love with Rabbi Elazar, where do we find Rabbi Shua disagreeing with Rabbi Elazar? That's Il Bekitva de Gavza. That was the resin, that's the sap that comes out of the tree itself. That he holds that's not a pri, and therefore that's not considered in the prohibition of Arla. And if you were maimed with something else with that sap, it would be permitted. Bakat for the pay we might be, but in the sap of the fruit itself, the Rabbi Shua agrees that that would be prohibited. Behind the tnan, that's what the Mishnah teaches over there. Amri Bishua, he says, Shemati Beferish, I heard explicitly, Shamaimid Bistrafa'ol, and if someone establishes something, curdles something with the sap of the leaves of an arla tree, or of the resin of the root of the tree itself, mutter, that's permitted, because that's not considered paywi. Arla is only the produce, the fruits are forbidden the first 3 years. Bistraf ha-pagan also, but if he takes the sap of the immature fruits themselves, and takes the sap from that, and makes something else through that, that would be prohibited, and they should pay you, because that is a fruit, so it could even be like Rabbi Yeshua. However, the Gemara asks, as we alluded to earlier, whether according to the interpretation of Chizda says the reason why their cheeses are forbidden is because they curdle it with vinegar, which is from their wine, which is Yain Nesach. Bainler of Nachmi Yitzchok, according to his interpretation, that says because of the sap of Arla, Titzabana. So why is it also only Bachila? Both these items, Arla and Yain Nesach, are prohibited not only to consume, but even to have benefit from it. So the Gemara Kashra, yeah, that's a difficulty according to their interpretation. Why wouldn't, according to the Chum, it even be us to their cheeses, Bahana? Now, going back to what we had said before, the pasuk in Shirashim over there, that he had distracted him instead of answering the question, because as we said, it was a new gezer and didn't want to give him the reason, because then he might not like it, and then the Chacham's gezer would be rejected. Darush Rav Nachum read of Chizda, what does it mean that it says in the pasuk over there, L'reach shemanecha toivim, to the scent of your oil that's good. Says the Gemara, what this is referring to, where the Shirashim is a metaphor for the Jewish people, and for Hashem, then, their relationship. So this is Lama Tamad Chacham Demi. What is a Talmudic scholar compared to? Letzleichis Shel Payatin, to a flask of balsam, where Megulo Reicha Neidiv, if it's uncovered, so its aroma spreads. And that's what it says there in the Pasuk, Shem and Tarik Shemecha, that poured oil is your name, meaning when it's revealed and the oil is poured, in other words, when you teach Torah to students, then your name's going to get out. So that's only when it's uncovered, when you're sharing your wisdom. But if it's covered, then the aroma, then the scent does not get out, it does not spread, where then when he keeps it to himself, then people don't know about that. Now, not only that, things that were concealed from the Talmud Chacham, if he goes and he teaches his Torah to others, then even things that were hidden from him are revealed to him by themselves without any effort when he's teaching. Like it says in the pasuk over there, it says, Alomas Ahivuchu, which literally means to say that the maidens love you, but Karibe Alumais, read it, the hidden things love you, meaning that the hidden things then teach to you what you had not known when you go and you share your wisdom to others. Not only that, but the angel of death even loves such a Talmud Chacham, who teaches his wisdom to others. So Nemalik says in the Pasuk, Alamas Ahayivuchu Karibe Almavis. The word Alamois can be read Almavis on the death, meaning even the Malcha Mavis loves him. Not only that, this such a Talmud Chacham that teaches his wisdom to others inherits two worlds, Echad Oil Mazeh, Echad Oil Mabah, both this world and the world to come. Shlomo says in the pasuk, Alamis, Karibe Oilamis, you could read it, the world, plural, he gets Oilam Hazeh and Oilam Haba. Now the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, continuing on the theme of the previous Mishnah, is regarding things that are forbidden of a non-Jew. In contrast to the previous Mishnah that said that items that are forbidden to consume and to benefit from the non-Jew, says this Mishnah of Eilu Dvam Shalevdi Kachav Masurin, that these are things of a non-Jew, of the idol worship, that's prohibited, but Ve'eini Surin Issa No. But the prohibition does not include a prohibition of benefit, only that of consumption. And they are Chalev, Chalev Shechalav Ve'evi Kachavim Ve'eini Sol Re'ehu, milk of a non-Jew that was milked without a Jew overlooking the process of that milking, and Vapas Vashemet Shalehen, and their bread and their oil. However, the Mishnah tells us, Rebbe Ubeis Dina Hitir Hashemen. Rebbe and his court permitted the oil of the non-Jews, which Rashi says not to have this text in the Mishnah, because actually it was not Rebbe who permitted, rather it was Rebbe Yehuda Nesiya, who was his grandson who permitted, as the Gemara says in the Aflam Zayim at Aleph, that Rebbe Yehuda Nesiya, which also means Rebbe Yehuda the prince, was leaning, where Rebbe Yehuda Nesiya in the Gemara is Rebbe Yehuda Hanasi, who was the son of Rebbe Gamliel, who was the son of Rebbe, because he was in the days of the Amiram, which as the Gemara tells us, that Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi was the son of Rabbi Gamliel, whereas Rebbe was the son of Rabbi, that's who our Mishnah seems to be quoting, is the son of Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, as the Gemara says, above Metzia, Pei Dal Mabez. So therefore says Rashi, it's not Rebbe who permitted, but rather it was Rabbi Yehuda Nesia, although they were both known as Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, but one was a grandson, and the grandson was called Nesia, conscious to Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi. And it was him who permitted the oil. Continues the Mishnah, items that are forbidden from to consume, but not of benefit, vashlokis, anything that the non-Jew cooks, even in a kosher vessel, is going to be forbidden, and all these reasons are because of what's known as chasnas, of intermarriage. If we get too intimate with them, taking of their bread and their oil and their cooked dishes might come to prohibited relations with them. Ukvashin, also what's forbidden from them is their fermented fish and vegetables and the head and the feet of the animals which they pickle in vinegar. Shadarkan losses latechin yain b'chametz, because they very much put in wine and vinegar, which have problems about yain nesach, and that's why we can't take from their fermented pickled dishes. And vitaris, which are certain types of small salted fish, that's trufa, which was chopped up the fish into small pieces and they're not recognizable. So therefore, we have to be concerned that maybe they threw in some non-kosher pieces of fish in there too, because you can't see it's chopped up small. So therefore, we can't partake of their taris, which was chopped up. So to vitzir she'in badoga kilbis shaitetis by their brine, their fish brine that doesn't have this kilbis fish that's swimming in that brine, because it was normal that this kilbis would grow by itself in the brine of kosher, the fish brine of a kosher fish. Now, if there would be the brine from a non-kosher fish, actually the kilbis would not grow over there. So although the kilbis fish itself is non-kosher, but if the kilbis fish is in there, then we know it's only kosher brine, because it only grows over there. But if it's not there, then we have to be concerned that maybe there's non-kosher brine in there. So too vachilik, which is a certain type of small kosher fish, which is known as sultanus, which when it's small does not have scales and fins, but ultimately later on in life gets the scales and fins, which the Gemara tells us is permitted. And the Gemara tells us why, as our Mishnah teaches us, is it forbidden to consume their chilik, is because it gets mixed in with the catch of these small little fish, many other non-kosher fish. And therefore, it doesn't make a difference if they were chopped up or not. You have to be concerned from when one out of 1,000 of those small tiny fish could be a non-kosher fish and it's just not recognizable. In contrast, by the taurus, there's no non-kosher fish that's similar to it. So therefore, when it's not chopped up small, we said it's permitted. The taurus is only truthful when it's chopped up small that you can't see. Then we have to be concerned that maybe a piece of another non-kosher fish was thrown in over there. Another item, a kurd shel chilsis, a grain of chilsis, which is a certain type of a fruit, which is very sharp, which they would cut the grains with a knife, and that's the problem, because the knife could have fat from non-kosher food on it, and it gets stuck into it when they cut off the grains, and therefore that might went to partake of those grains of this sharp food, which then absorbs the taste of the fat, is problematic because of kashas. Umelech salkundis, which the Gemara is going to explain later on the flametism based what this is, a certain type of salt, which is also forbidden. It says the Mishnah, Hari Eila Asur, and all these items are prohibited to consume, Vein Nisun Nisano, but their prohibition is not that one of a prohibition of benefit. So the Gemara explains the halachas of a Mishnah. Starting off with the first one, ask the Gemara, Cholv Lamay Neichishla, what's our concern for the milk, which was milked by a non-Jew without a Jew being Mashkiach, watching over? What's the concern? If it's because we're going to be concerned that they're going to switch, and instead of giving us the milk of a cow, they're going to give it the milk of a non-kosher animal. Well, but that's not a concern, because tar chiver, kosher milk is white, tamei yarek, non-kosher milk is yellow. So you can tell just by looking at it. And if it's because we're concerned that they might mix in, so it's going to look white, but there's a little of the non-kosher milk thrown in, says Gemara, nekum, what's the problem? Just curdle that milk by putting in rennet to make it into cheese. The Amamar that the master said, Chalav Tar Aymed. Only kosher milk could be curdled into cheese. Chalav Tameh Ani Aymed. Non-kosher milk, meaning from a non-kosher animal, doesn't curdle into cheese. So that's a very easy test. So just go ahead and take the milk and make it into cheese, and you'll know if it's kosher or not. Says the Gemara, yeah. Idiko Bailik Vin Hachanami. If you want the milk to make into cheese, of course, that's a great test. And then you could use it. Hachamayiskinah, what are we talking about in our mission? Is the Kabayli Lekamcha. The one who wants the milk wants it for this dish called Kamcha, which was necessary to have it as milk, not as cheese. So the Gemara says, but still, what's the problem? Menishkel menei kali, take a little bit of the milk, menekem, and curdle that little bit. So you'll see, if that little bit curdles, then you know it's kosher milk, and then you could use it as milk. If not, then you know it's not. So what's the problem? You'll still be able to have milk for the kamchadu. Says the Gemara, no, because kiven debitar nami ikenes yubidulekayim, since even in kosher milk, not all of the milk curdles into cheese. There's still the whey, which is the liquidy part of that does not turn into cheese, that does not get curdled. So lekele makeem alo de milk. So this is not a conclusive test, because maybe there is a little bit non-kosher milk mixed into that milk. And when they go and they take some of that milk and they curdle it, some of the kosher milk is not going to curdle, because that's the whey part. And maybe some of the non-kosher milk is going to stay with that whey part, so therefore that's not a valid test to test to see, to be able to consume it. But the Gemara still thinks in this answer, but if you took all the milk and you made it into cheese, then that would be permitted, because then you would know totally, seeing that you know that this is the thing that turns into cheese, and therefore you would know that that's going to be permitted. Says the Gemara, V'ibayisim, if you want, you could say that actually, no. What we had mentioned before, that we thought, okay, if you want to use it for cheese, then it's okay. It's not true. Even if to use the milk, which did not have a mashkech, for cheese, even that's problematic. Because afilo tamei dekabayi l'gvina, you could even say if he wants it for cheese, ikka, there's still going to be some of the whey, which is going to stay in the cheese, the koi beini itfri, that's going to be between the holes in the cheese. The Gemara's first answer thought, okay, they totally get separated. So whatever gets separated away, okay, fine, that you throw away, because it might have some non-kosher milk in it. But the cheese is totally from the kosher milk. So then you could use it as cheese. On that, the Gemara's second answer is saying, no, we have to be concerned that maybe some of the non-kosher milk, which did not curdle, is with the milk whey that gets stuck in some of the holes in the cheese. And therefore, even the cheese you cannot partake, and therefore the problem of the milk, which did not have hashkacha, is going to be problematic, even if you want to use it for cheese, because it might have some of the non-kosher milk mixed into the kosher milk, which is in the whey, which then doesn't curdle, and that gets stuck in the holes of the cheese. Now the Mishnah continues, says, v'hapas, the bread of a non-Jew is also prohibited. So I'm Rebbe Kahana, I'm Rebbe Yechon, he says, pas lehut shebebezen, bread was not permitted by the courts. Meaning, although we said in the Mishnah that oil was permitted, but the bread was not. Now, says the Gemara, it sounds like mechlal de'ikaman de'shari. It sounds like that there are those who wanted it permitted, and on that, Rabbi Yechonon is saying that no, bread was not permitted. Says the Gemara, yes. Because the Chiyas Rav Dimi Amar, when Rav Dimi came, he said that Pamachas Yatsa Rebbe Lasa, the one time Rebbe went out to the fields, Vehevi Oivik Kachav Lafan of Pas Porni, and it was a non-Jew who brought in front of him this porni bread, which is the bread of an oven that's very large, which the opening is from the side. Contrast the regular oven in Mishneig times was small, and it had the space on the top for two pots, which the opening was on the top. And the bread he brought was mafisa, was baked in the measurement of a saw. And Rebbe saw, and he saw this bread of the non-Jew, he says, Kama no pazu, how beautiful is this bread? Marochacham loisa, what did the sages see fit to make the bread of a non-Jew prohibited? So ask the Gemara, Marochacham, what did the Cham see fit? Mishum chasnes. All those items are because of intermarriage, because we have to separate. We can't partake of all their foods, because then we're going to be dining with them, and we see the non-Jew's daughter, and we're going to create a relationship, etc., etc. What was Rebbe's question? Rather, what Rebbe was saying was, Marochacham loisa besada. What did the sages see fit to totally make the bread of a non-Jew forbidden, even in the fields where there's no concern about being drawn after them, because that's just a happenstance occurrence. Not like we're eating and dining in this house with his whole family. It's just in the field. So therefore, that was the comment Rebbe had made. Now, Kesvurin Ha'am hit the Rebbe Apas. So the people thought the Rebbe permitted non-Jewish bread by making that comment. That's what Rebbe Yechim is coming to say. Wallahi, that's not the case. Rebbe lo hit as a pas. Rebbe did not permit the bread of the non-Jews. Now, Rav Yosef, the Itam Etzon say was Rav Shmuel, but Yehudam, he says, Loi kacho yemaisa. Actually, that was not what the incident was. El Amr Rav, they said as follows, Pamachas halach Rebbe l'mokamecha. One time Rebbe went to a place. V'ro pas tochig le'tamid, we saw that there was very a small amount of bread available for the students. So Amr Rebbe said, In Kampalter, is there no baker over here? Now, Kesavur na Amalema, so the people thought to say what Rebbe was referring to as a way of permitting, because there was no bread available, Palto Evi Kachavim. That is referring to the non-Jewish bakers. But says the Gemara, that's what Rebbe Yechim was coming to say, V'hu lo yomer ela Palto Yisrael. He was referring to the Jewish bakers. He was just saying, what, the women here don't have bread, but what's with the bakers? But he wasn't referring to the non-Jewish bakers. He never permitted Pasakim. Now, Amr B'chelba, he qualifies. He says, "Afil amandam apalta every gechavim." Even according to the one who says that Rebbe that or that was permitted the bread of a baker of a non-Jew, which is different than an individual. An individual, you eat his bread, you're part of the family, you're breaking bread with him. From a baker, you don't have those concerns that's permitted paspalta. On that, he qualifies. He says, "Lo yamar na duleka palta yisrael." But that was only said if there's no bread from a Jewish baker. But if there's bread from a Jewish baker available, then we never said the permissibility of the bread from a non-Jewish baker. Moreover, Rabbi Yechonam, he says, even according to the one who says that the bread of a baker, of a non-Jew, is permitted, that was only said in the fields. But in the city, not, because that, yes, that could bring that we're eating the same foods as them and might lead to intermarriage, and therefore that was prohibited. Now, the Gemara concludes with an incident that Avoy have a menakis v'achal. Avoy was biting and consuming the bread of Pas Abe Mitzri. He was eating the bread of the non-Jews by the fields, by the boundaries. Amlu Rava, so Rava said to them, Vitem and some say Rav Nachman Yitzchak said to the others around them, like the Shtoi Bahadi David, do not speak with Avoy, the Ka'achal Lachm Darmoy, he's eating the Aramean bread, meaning he's treating light this halacha of the Mishnah, which is that the pas of Akum is prohibited, and there he is eating the bread, and therefore one should not speak with him, one should not say the teachings in his name, because this is something that's prohibited of pas Akum.